This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I'm going to be spending some time talking about the life of David. Do you realize this, ladies and gentlemen? There's more written about David than any other man in the Bible other than Jesus. The only person that there's more written about in the Bible other than King David, of course, is Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says this. It says that in 1 Samuel 13 and 14, that God sought for a man after his own heart. He wanted a man after his own heart. And then Hebrews 13 and 22 says that man was none other than David. There's only one man in the Bible that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, and it was King David. And here's what I want you to understand. David had his ups, and David had his downs. He had his high points, and he had his low points. And we're going to spend some time studying about this man, and I believe we're going to learn some things that we never knew before. 1 Samuel 16 and 7 says this. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. I've refused him. What he was saying, listen, I refused Saul from being king. I know, Samuel, you loved him, but I've refused him. He's no longer the king. I refused him. And then he said, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Isn't that great news, folks? Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on our hearts. I want to talk to you about you can overcome the limitations that others put on you. You can overcome the limitations that others put on you. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a sports fan. I love sports. I especially love football. I just remember one year I was watching so many football games, Barbara got a little frustrated. I'd watched so many. And she finally said, Benny, do you love me more than football? I said, college or pro, amen? I love football. And I don't know if you realize this, but there's a football player, he's still playing. He's in his 40s. He's still playing professional football. His name is Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the only person to win 6 Super Bowls. 6 Super Bowls. Not only did Tom Brady win 6 Super Bowls, but he was MVP of the Super Bowl 4 times. If you're not a football fan, that's really big. And I want you to know, Tom Brady was voted the greatest quarterback in history. This man right here, Tom Brady. But you know what was interesting? When he played college football, he didn't even know if he would be drafted. The day of the college draft came, and he didn't know if he would be drafted. And when the draft was going on, they would go through round after round, and they wouldn't draft Tom Brady. 198 players were drafted, and he didn't hear his name. And he thought, there's no hope. But then he got a call, and they said, Mr. Brady, in the 6th or 7th round, you've been drafted. You're the 199th player taken in the draft. And we want you to know, the team that's drafted you, they have you as the 4th string quarterback right now. Now, I thought about that. I thought about a guy who never thought he'd even be drafted. And he was drafted 199th, but yet became the greatest player possibly in the history of football. Then I thought about David. David was a poet. David was an author. He was a songwriter. David was a warrior. David was a king. David was the greatest king that Israel had ever known. But I want you to know, it didn't start out like that. Because limitations were placed on David by people. And what I want us to see, I want you to see four groups and individuals that placed limitations on David. First of all, his father Jesse placed limitations on him. Now I want to make a statement, and this is worth the price of admission for coming today. If you're a parent, your children need to hear something from you. If you're a parent, your children need to hear something from you. You say, Pastor, what do my children need to hear from me? They need to hear this. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. And I want to say, especially to fathers, it's so important that fathers are expressing to their children, you have what it takes. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And what you say to your children is so vitally important. Now I want you to see something. The Bible says that God had rejected Saul from being king. And he said to Samuel, I want you, Samuel, to go down to Jesse's house. And once you get down to Jesse's house, you're going to anoint the next king. Now, what's so interesting, Jesse apparently knew that he was coming. And he marched seven of his boys out there. They were in Saul's army. They were big boys. But I want you to know something. None of those was to be the next king of Israel. None of those. That's when the scripture says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Now, here was a scripture, folks. Here was a scripture that was so amazing. Look what it says. After the seven boys had came out, none of them was to be chosen. Look what it says. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all your children? You know what I would have thought? I would have thought Jesse would have said, I've got one more son. He's keeping the sheep. He's down in the field. And perhaps it's him. But he didn't even do that. He didn't even do that. Samuel had to say, do you have any more children? He said, yes, there is one more. I want you to understand something. His father placed limitations on him. And perhaps you've had limitations put on you. All I want to say to you is you can overcome those limitations. I didn't have a father raised in a home. I was raised by a stepfather. And the stepfather told me I was ignorant. And the stepfather told me I would never amount to anything. And the stepfather told me I was just useless. All I'm trying to say, your words are powerful. But I want also to say to you, you can overcome any limitations that people have put on you. I read an article one time. It was entitled, One Right Was Wrong, Two Rights Were Right. One right was wrong, two rights were right. And it grabbed my attention because it was about a preacher, a Methodist preacher. And a Methodist is just a Baptist that can read. A Methodist preacher. His name was Bishop Wright. And Bishop Wright spoke at a convention in the 19th century. And they asked Bishop Wright, are men meant to fly? Because a man had got up before him and said, one day, men will be able to fly through the air, travel through the air. And Bishop Wright said, let me tell you something. Flying is preserved for angels. It's for angels. If God had wanted men to fly, he would have given them wings. And then Bishop Wright said to his two sons, "Get up, boys. We're leaving this church." And as Bishop Wright walked out of that church with two sons by the name of Orville and Wilbur Wright following him, the very individuals that created the airplane. I want to say something, folks. Father Jesse put limitations on David. But not only Father Jesse, but his brothers put limitation on him. His brothers did. See, David was anointed king, but there was a sibling rivalry, and the brothers became jealous. How many of you know that sometimes there's jealousy in families? How many of you know sometimes there's sibling rivalry? Sometimes I'll preach a funeral, and a few days later, they have all kinds of problems. You say, why would they have problems a few days later? Because where there's a will, there's a relative. And apparently there was sibling rivalry. Because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17 and 28, Eliab said to David, "What are you doing down here? You ought to be there with those few sheep. You're nothing but nosy." I'll tell you who put limitations on David. His daddy put limitations on him. I'll tell you who put limitations on David. His brothers put limitations on him. I'll tell you who put limitations on David. King Saul put limitations on him. He said, I want to fight the giant. And King Saul said to him in 1 Samuel 17, 32 and 33, "Fight the giant. You're just a youth." And he's been a man of war from his youth. "You're no match for the giant." And you know what I know? Sometimes those in positions above us can put limitations on us. Sometimes our superiors can put limitations on us. But I want to report to you, God sees something in you that perhaps your superiors can't see in you. And God's got a plan for you that perhaps your superiors don't know anything about. See, I want to show you something. There is a man named Clifton Herring. Clifton Herring. Clifton Herring, he was a basketball coach. How many of you have ever heard of Clifton Herring? Nobody's heard of Clifton Herring. I'll tell you why you've never heard of Clifton Herring. I'll tell you why every hand wasn't raised up. Because Clifton Herring was the basketball coach that was foolish enough to cut this basketball player from the high school basketball team. Everybody's heard of Michael Jordan, but nobody's heard of Clifton Herring because Clifton Herring didn't believe in Michael Jordan, and he put limitations on him. There's a man named Jim Denning. Anybody ever heard of Jim Denning? Not a soul's heard of Jim Denning. I'll tell you why you hadn't heard of Jim Denning. Because Jim Denning was manager of the Grand Ole Opry. And there was a guy one time who sang some, and he drove a truck. And he sang at the Grand Ole Opry. And after singing at the Grand Ole Opry, Jim Denning said, "Son, I'll tell you what, you don't have a future in music. You need to make sure that you keep your job driving trucks." That guy done pretty well. All I'm trying to say, folks, because somebody puts limitations on you does not mean they're correct. No, not only did Jesse put limitations on him, not only did his brothers put limitations on him, not only did Saul put limitations on him, but Goliath put limitations on him. Goliath said, my goodness. In 1 Samuel 17, 43, he said, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog? And you're coming at me with a stick?" He said, "You're no match for me. I'm going to take care of you, and the birds are going to eat you. This is not even a sufficient battle that your army's going to give you a proper burial." Here's what I want you to see. There was all kind of limitations placed on David. And perhaps there have been limitations placed on you. You say, "Pastor, How can I overcome the limitations of my life? Let me give you four things, and they're vitally important. Four things, and they're vitally important. God's opinion of you is more important than anyone else's. God's opinion of you is more important than anyone else's. Let me tell you something. What everybody else says about you is not near as important as what God says about you. Everybody else's opinion of you is not near as important as God's opinion of you. David understood that my brother's opinion, my daddy's opinion, Saul's opinion, Goliath's opinion is not near as important as God's opinion. Here's what I want you to see. God has a good opinion of you. Most people live their Christian lives thinking God's against them. Most people's philosophy of parenting is they watch their children, and when they mess up, they punish them. That's parenting. We watch them, and when they mess up, we punish them. I'll tell you what I believe would be a better method of parenting. You watch what your children do, and every time they do good, you affirm them. Because I believe they're doing a whole lot more good than they're probably doing bad. But see, we relate that back to God. And we think God is sitting in the heavens and he's just looking for us to mess up so he can punish us. But I want to give you a news flash today. God's not against you. God's for you. I want to give you a news flash. God is not against you. God is for you. And the Bible says in Romans 8 and 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? God's not against us. He is for us. I want you to see something. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus gets baptized. And God from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. By the way, Jesus walked 30 miles out of his way to get baptized. If you've accepted Christ, haven't been baptized, we're going to be doing it in about 3 weeks. It might be good for you to get in the pool. Why? He gave us an example to go by. Jesus got baptized, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now get that in your spirit. My son. Right after that, Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The enemy comes to him. And notice what the enemy says in Matthew 4 and 3. If you be the Son of God. Notice what the enemy said to him in Matthew 4 and 6. If you be the Son of God, what did Jesus do? He referred right back to what had just happened. This is my beloved Son. See, the enemy wants you to question who you are in Christ. The enemy wants you to question who you are in Christ. And the only way you deal with it is you take the enemy the same place Jesus took the enemy. You take the enemy back to the Word of God. Somebody said, we got to tell ourselves positive stuff. No, we don't. We got to tell ourselves what God said about ourselves. You need to tell yourself what God's Word says about you. There's a movie. It's a good movie. It's called Overcomer. Overcomer. I highly recommend the movie. And in that movie, there's a principal, Principal Brooks. She leads a young girl named Hannah to Christ. Hannah's mother died of a drug overdose. She didn't have a father. She had a very low self-esteem. Had all kind of inferiority problems. But she led her to Christ. And she said, Hannah, read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Because Ephesians chapter 1 verse 2, verse chapter 1 and 2 will show you who you are in Jesus Christ. Hannah studied it. Started circling in her Bible who she was in Christ. And she came back and she said, I'll tell you what I am. I'm created by God. He designed me. So I'm not a mistake. His son died for me just so I could be forgiven. He picked me to be his own, so I'm chosen. He redeemed me, so I'm wanted. He showed me grace, so I could be saved. He has a future for me because he loves me. So I don't have to wonder anymore. I am a child of God. You said, Pastor Benny, there's been limitations placed on me. I want you to know God's opinion of you is more important than anybody else's, because if God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I believe if a mosquito would bite me right now, it would leave singing. There's power in the blood. Let me tell you the second step. You be faithful. You be faithful right where you are. Let me tell you something. You know why God used David to be the greatest king of Israel? Because he was faithful to keep the sheep. Because he was faithful to keep the sheep. If you do what you can with what you have, where you are, God won't leave you where you are, and he'll increase what you have. You say, Pastor, say that again. I'll be glad to. If you do what you can with what you have, where you are, God won't leave you where you are, and he'll increase what you have. You say, wait. He anointed him king and everything got better. No, you don't know the story. He anointed him king, but it was 15 years later before he became king. Persistence is what got the snail on the ark. Couples get married today, and they want within 4 years of marriage what it's taken mom and daddy to get after 40 years of marriage. Persistence is what got the snail on the ark. This is all I want to say, folks. He was just faithful to keep those sheep. He was just faithful to keep those sheep. And understand something. If serving is beneath you, leading will always be above you. Amen. If serving is beneath you, leading will always be above you. All I'm trying to say, you just be faithful right where you are. There's a third thing I'd say to you. Don't underestimate the power within you. Don't underestimate the power within you. You said, Brother Benny, is this one of these Tony Robbins teachings? No. It's a biblical teaching. See, what was David's confidence? You know, David never called him a giant. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. I don't mean that. You got to understand, I'm preaching a biblical message. Circumcision was a blessing. It was a part of the Hebrew blessing. And he didn't have the blessing of God on him. And David knew that. But David knew he did. David knew he did. You said, Pastor Benny, why can I believe that God can do great things through me? Why should I believe that God's going to do great things with my life? Why should I believe that, Pastor? Why should I feel like I'm destined for great things? And by the way, folks, I believe all of us are destined for greatness. I believe God's got a wonderful plan for all of our lives. I believe God wants to do supernatural things through your life. Why? Look what the Bible says. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. From that day forward, what made all the difference? The Spirit of the Lord. What's going to make all the difference in your life is the Holy Spirit within your life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's you walking in the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's you being led by the Holy Spirit. It's leaning into the Holy Spirit. There's no power for ministry. There's no power for anything outside of the Holy Spirit. Outside of anything, the Holy Spirit. What do we need in America? We need a presence. God, we need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need a wind from elsewhere. Oh, folks, most of our churches that are having church are starting at 11 o'clock sharp and ending at 12 o'clock dull. But we need a move of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with His presence more than anything else. You say, Pastor Benny, that's old, that's dated preaching. That's who I am. That's what I want more than anything else. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said. Corrie Ten Boom said these words. She said, the human spirit fails. The human spirit fails except when the Holy Spirit fails. The human spirit fails except when the Holy Spirit fails. I'll give you the last point and I'm done. When you rise above your limitations, you help others to do the same. You say, Pastor, nobody in my family's ever. Well, perhaps you're meant to be the first. Nobody around me has ever. Well, perhaps you're meant to be the first. You say, I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You say, well, I'm late. Well, you can start right now. You can start right now. You know how many giant killers were in Saul's army? Zero. Let me explain why. This is deep. Hold on. Because he didn't kill giants. You teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are. Somebody says, he's a good teacher, she's a good teacher. Well, you teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are. You know how many giant killers were in David's army? Four. Why? Because David killed giants. Billy Graham said, when a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. When you overcome the limitations in your life, you help others to do the same. It may mean looking at your son and saying, I overcame it, you can too. I got victory over it, and you can too. You probably won't even have to do that, because your son's probably going to say, if mom can overcome it, I can. If dad can do it, I can. I love presidential history. I love studying it. Barbara and I go to presidential libraries. It's something that interests me. John Quincy Adams was the sixth president of the United States. John wasn't the most handsome guy. But his father was the second president, and he became the sixth president of the United States. Let me tell you a little history if you enjoy studying presidential history. John Quincy Adams, after he finished up as president, he served in the Congress for 17 years. 17 years. And what he would do, he kept presenting the same legislation. 80% of those in the Congress owned slaves. And John Adams would continually present legislation to abolish slavery. Never had a lot of success, but he kept presenting legislation to abolish slavery. For 17 years, he'd read letters from his constituents about how horrible slavery was. Finally, when he was 80 years old, he died on the floor of Congress, still fighting that all people, that slaves, could be free. He never did accomplish it. But 30 feet from his desk was another desk. It was a young congressman. And he watched the fight of that old man. And 15 years later, he freed the slaves through the Emancipation Proclamation. His name was Abraham Lincoln. Now I want to say something to you folks. When you rise above the limitations in your life, it not only helps you, it helps other people. Two quick stories and I'm done. I remember I was pastoring here at Rock Springs. It was all woods in one little sanctuary. I remember the day coming when we power truck came to cut the electricity off because we couldn't pay the power bill. And I begged them to wait till Monday and I could raise the money. Don't cut the power off. If you just give me the Monday, I'll raise the money to pay the power bill Sunday at church. And they did. Had a church growth expert. He said, let me tell you something, young man. If you'll give your entire life to this church, if you'll give your entire life, and you could have some churches around you close that might merge with you. If you'll give your entire life, one day you'll retire. You'll be 65 or 70 years old. And he said, if you'll just give your entire life and some churches around you closed, you could possibly one day at this church have 300 people. Pre-pandemic, we had 300 people in the restrooms. I went to a church growth conference. I went with some preachers, friends of mine. They knew that I pastored in Hooterville. They knew the zip code was E-I-E-I-O. They knew I had 30 people. They knew me. They knew that his pronunciation's not good. Has a low self-esteem. Not from a family that was raised up in church. He was raised up in taverns and nightclubs and bars. They knew that. And the guy stood up and he said, if you believe that God has called you to build a church of 1,000 people, come down because I want to pray a special prayer of anointing on you. I never will forget it. I was sitting in the back. And those preachers were with me. And I said, excuse me. And they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going down. God bear me record. They started to laugh. I said, I'm still going down. Let me tell you something. God's opinion of you is more important than anybody else's. It's more important than anybody else's. And if God be for us, who can be against us?
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.